Hi, you're listening to the Beauty Revealed podcast. I'm your host, Candace Claiborne, and it's time for you to take the steps to revealing your inner beauty. You no longer have to feel invisible because you are seen and known by the creator of all things. So let's get ready to reveal your beauty. We're about to go deep. Today's episode is just a fantastic conversation with Misty Faulkner. She's a friend of mine, and we're going to talk about all about identity and skincare. And speaking of skincare, the season is changing, and we know that the skin can get dry, the lips can get cracked, and we don't want any of that, okay? We want to keep things nice, smooth, and really moisturize. And I've been doing that lately using the Keys Soul Care skincare line. It's been so good. This is the Golden Cleanser. I use it as just my general morning face wash cleanser, and then also in the evening time. I follow that up with the Rich Skin Transformation Cream. This is really, really emollient, and it feels like butter on my skin. So Alicia, you were doing your thing when y'all came up with this combination because it feels so good. There's just something about having just like really smooth and supple skin that just, I can't even describe it. So this has been my second go-to. And then lastly is this Comforting Balm. The Comforting Balm is a lip treatment that just makes my lips feel really, really good. They're soft, they're kissable, and they're able to kind of take on the pressures and the wind and the cool air that comes through this season. So if you are looking to up your skincare game and you want to try something that is not only going to make you look good and feel good, but that's going to speak to you even when you're putting it on. I mean, even all of these products, it says, I surround myself with things that are good for me. I embrace change. I am devoted to this moment. These products are not just good for you and feel good on you, but all of the beautiful things inside of you get to be revealed just by reading the product and reading the packaging. So check out the Keys Soul Care line this fall because they have some amazing products. With all that being said, let's get into today's interview with Misty Faulkner as we're talking all about identity and skincare. You are going to love it. All right. So just like I told you guys earlier, today's guest is a dear friend of mine, Misty Faulkner. Misty, thank you so much for being on today's episode of Beauty Revealed. Welcome.
Oh my gosh, it's my absolute joy to be here with you today.
Good. So guys, we are talking all about skincare, but more specifically speaking to identity. We know that one of the core four elements is identity, and it relates really closely to how we live in our skin and who we are. And so I wanted to invite Misty on today's episode because she is not just an amazing person, you know, someone who you meet and you instantly feel like a strong connection to, but it's because of, you know, her faith. It's because of her being exactly who she's been designed to be, you know, and just she sees you. She really sees you. When we met and connected, it just felt like, oh, you are a great person to just be around. And I think that's just one of the amazing traits that she has about her, but she's really clear about who she is. And so that really comes across when you know who you are. You really create an atmosphere for other people to begin to feel comfortable in their skin, right? So, Misty, why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourself so our listeners and our viewers can kind of get to know you a little bit better.
Fantastic. Oh, thank you so much. That was just like such a touching intro too. Like, oh my goodness. So my name is Misty Dawn Faulkner. I am originally from Montana and reside currently in Prescott, Arizona. We love where we get to live. My husband, Eric, and I have been married for 22 years. We have three beautiful grown children. Yes, I know people say I look too young to have three grown children, and I will take it every single time, I don't want to waste too much time on my intro, but I am a Gallup certified executive coach and strength-based educator. I own my own business for coaching and consulting called Live Merrickie. And I will just quickly say the reason why I chose Live Merrickie as the name for my business is because Merrickie is a Greek word that means to do what you love and are passionate about in such a way that you leave a piece of yourself behind. And I truly, absolutely believe that each and every one of us, each and every one of you watching, is absolutely essential to this world. That's why God made you. That's why you're here. Your purpose is not bound up in what you do as much as in who you are. And so that's why I'm so thrilled that I get to be here and talk with you, Candy, about identity today and just how essential it is just for who we are as we're just being in this place, and how essential that is, that when we are who we are meant to be, that it actually starts to ripple out into everybody around us and affects not just the people, but I believe the earth itself. So I'm just so grateful to be here. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And I'm just excited about this conversation, and I hope that it carries impact for the people who get to listen.
Good. Okay, guys. So we could really just like wrap the conversation. Like I feel like she just did so well of just kind of putting together exactly what we're going to be talking about today. Remembering who you are, your identity. And like you said, Missy, it's not just about what I do and my job and, you know, what I'm good at, but like you said, living passionately and being able to give back and pour into the world, the people around us, and even the earth that we live in, you know, all of it is interconnected. And so we really have to think about what we're doing in this world and how it affects ourselves and one another. So with that being said, tell me a little bit about what identity means to you and how you kind of connect that to some of the strength assessments that you have become an expert in using and helping others to apply to their lives.
Yeah, absolutely. So, wow, that identity piece is just huge. And I wish I had like a really eloquent like catchphrase for like, hey, this is identity. But I think it really comes back for me. It comes back to in the Psalms, Psalm 139, when it says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And there's just this beauty of thinking about the fact that the creator of the universe really thoughtfully and full of awe, that fearfully means full of awe, really thought about intentionally making each of us unique and special. And I've always kind of been curious about that and thinking about, okay, how do I capture that? And in my own self, like feeling like unique and special and yet like out of place and,
yeah,
and sometimes either too much or not enough, or, you know, oh, I'm that, you know, round peg in a square hole, you know, like I'm feeling all of those things like my whole life. And yet in scripture, just feeling like this confirmation that you're exactly who I made you to be. And that's good. And it's wonderful. And I'm pleased with that. And yet the dissonance with the world, right? So a lot of this has been like the struggle of me trying to figure out what does this actually mean and what does that look like and how do I live that out? So if you're finding yourself like, yes, I totally believe this and I work really hard to live that out, and then you have those moments of like, why don't I fit? I feel so alone, right?
Right. Right.
Yes, same, girl, same, 100% right here all the time, right? But I think that it's that tension. And so why I chose to use the Gallup Clifton Strengths Assessment came from a place. My husband and I were part of a church planting team, and an outside leader came and wanted us all to take this so that we could actually make it through the first year. It's very stressful. And as an educator, I'd done so much around learning styles and multiple intelligence, and then a lot with personality and good character. I'd used those in my classroom over and over again. Found great value in those, but there was always this missing piece of like, I'd have students who were like, you know, Ms. Faulkner, I really want to engage. Like, I want to figure this out, you know, and I'm doing everything on my end to like teach to their strengths and, you know, teach the ways that they need to. And they're applying good character. I'm like, why can't we get this figured out where at least they can get there, right? And it was like that wrestling, right, that Paul had, you know, the things I don't want to do, I do. And the things I do want to do, I don't want to do, right? What is wrong with me? And so we took the strengths assessment, and it just a brief synopsis. So it's different. It's not a personality test. It is a psychometric. That means that it's testing your top of mind thinking, how you're processing information. So if right now there's a huge crash in the other room, you and I are both going to have an initial thought, but that initial thought is going to be different for both of us. And while we may think that everyone's having the same thought, we're not all having the same thought, right? So that's really what this is it's testing how you process information. And when I started to dive into this, all of a sudden it was the aha moment. It was the missing link. This was how God crafted our pattern of thought. And the person who originally wrote it, his name is Don Clifton. He actually was a Christian man. And for him, he was like, what if we studied what was right with people instead of what was wrong with people? So he's one of the fathers of positive psychology. So it was just so exciting for me to be able to have this and go, I wonder how we could use this to start to unlock that part of our identity that comes from the patterns of how God made our brains to actually work. And so I'll kind of leave it there. If you have any other questions, you want to go beyond that. But that really for me was like, oh, this is a key to help us get there faster, right? So it's not the identity in and of itself. It's just unlocking that tool to help us get there faster.
No, that's good. So when you share about, you know, hearing a crash in the other room and everybody kind of responding in their own way, I think it's good that we realize that we all have a different way of processing, like you said, different patterns of thought, things that we have developed over time, and also ways that we have been at since childhood. And just realizing that we are really different. And when it comes to skin, right, we talk about the different types of skin. You have dry skin, oily skin, combination, and the products that work for me may not work for you, and realizing that that's okay. And I love what you said about the creator of this assessment looking at what is right about us instead of what's wrong. And really, even that in and of itself is a shift in the mindset, right? That we are good. We are whole. We are great. We are enough just the way we are. And so thinking about, okay, how does my mind work? And how do I use that to connect well with others and work well with others in this world? Because you're right, it can feel very lonesome at times, even within your own family unit, you know, where you're kind of like, my husband and I had a situation yesterday with one of our children, and it wasn't anything negative that happened. It was just something that this child said. And I was like, why did this child say that? And it was like, I started thinking, okay, this child made this statement, but why? Where did that come from? Like, what is that? And it wasn't a right or wrong as much as it was, I'm interested in knowing more about you. And it's completely different than the way that I thought about the situation. And so I think when we can come to a place where we realize that we were all designed exactly the way God intended for us to be, and that there's a way for us to connect and interact with each other in a healthy, positive way, when we begin to not only see others, but like see ourselves. And that's where the identity piece comes in, where we can really be honest with ourselves about the kind of the rough, edgy stuff, but also the things that just make us who we are that are really beautiful.
I love that you use this example of just even hearing your child say something. And instead of moving to that judgment or even shutting it down, to really looking for the root of it. And I think that there's something about, I don't know if it's just our society or if it's just insecurity, especially as women, that we are almost afraid to like look and ask ourselves, right? When something comes out of our mouths or we have a thought, that we just kind of like try to sweep it under the rug, or we just kind of like try to like throw it as far away from us as we can, instead of really looking and saying, okay, what's at the heart of this? Where did that actually come from? So that we can start to again, develop it, right? It's not that everything is bad, right? So like, I love that you talked, I love your, you know, this idea of thinking about our skincare, right? So, you know, you don't like go, okay, well, oh, I have oily skin, right? Just toss it out, right? First of all, like, that's just not, okay, that's, you know, it'd be great if you could just, you know, decide that, you know, you don't have oily skin anymore, but like, that's not the truth, right? And so what you have to do is you're like, how do I actually develop a care plan? How do I embrace the skin that I have? How do I develop a plan so that now I'm working with my skin instead of against it? And that's exactly what we need to do when we start to identify these patterns of thought, is how can I actually develop good character? How can I develop a plan where I'm working with myself instead of against myself? And that's where you're going to have the greatest success. Ultimately, that's what the studies have shown from Gallup over and over again, is that when you spend 70% or more of your time doing what you're good at, right? So, and it's not like about talent. This isn't about like, oh, well, I'm good at singing, so I have to sing 70%. Like, that's ridiculous, right? Right? It's about that pattern of thought. So when you embrace that 70% or more of the time, that's when you start to move into that absolute excellence, right? So it's, how do I start to do everything in my life from a place of strength, from these patterns of thought, as opposed to working against it, right? And so, and it does, and it has to be part of that daily practice, sometimes multiple times a day, right? There is a way that you have to work into it, just like with your skincare, right?
Yeah, no, I love that. And okay, so let's kind of unpack a little bit what it means to have a pattern of thought. And how do you even go about realizing what those patterns are? We call this taking inventory. And I think you've even used that line of that phrase as well. Taking inventory, right? That slow down. I'm all about the pause. I'm all about, really slowing down to say, okay, what's happening right now? Almost if you were able to just freeze, and you know, in the movies where the person freezes everybody else around them and they kind of get an opportunity to peer into what's happening, taking inventory and saying, okay, what just happened? Even just situationally, right? Because sometimes it comes up in a conflict, whether it be with your spouse or with your children or something that takes place at work, or even if it's by yourself and you're scrolling through. I know there are times where I'm on Instagram and I'm scrolling and I see something and I feel something or I think something. And instead of just pushing past it, I take a moment to pause and I'm like, okay, why did I just feel or think the way I just did based on what I just saw or heard? And I think that can sometimes be very revealing to us when we take those moments to pause. So from your experience, what would you say is the best way to begin to start to reveal those patterns of thoughts? I mean, obviously the assessment is an amazing tool and I've taken it and it was very helpful for me. But even if you haven't gotten to the assessment stage yet, just kind of starting steps for people.
Yeah, absolutely. So like I said, the assessment is great because it's like a shortcut to help you get there faster, but it's not necessary and it shouldn't be the end all, right? I have an exercise that, I mean, I'd love to offer anybody who listens, right? So we call it red card, green card, right? So when you are thinking about taking inventory, right, our patterns of thought kind of provoke extreme emotion in two cases. One, when you're operating in it and it feels really good, right? So that's a green card. When you're like, oh, I can't wait for that to happen again. And so when you're talking about patterns of thought, we're talking about thoughts, feelings, emotions, or just actual activities, right, that we do, right? So if there's things that you're like, oh, I can't wait to do that again, right? So I've heard, you know, just several times in like our conversations in the last little bit, like, nature, being in nature is a big thing for you, right? So that's a big green card, right? So those things, so you want to put down in the moment, as close to the moment you can, something that makes you just feel so alive. You're like, I can't wait to do that again. I got lost. You know, I lost track of time. I feel in the flow. I feel in the groove. Like, I just feel like I'm on a high right now. This is amazing. You want to capture that as quickly as you can, right? That shows that you're actually operating in one of those patterns of thought or strength. The flip side of that is what we call a red card. And that's when you're like, ugh, if I could never do that again, that would be great, right? Or like, oh, I just feel so frustrated. Or I feel so icky on the inside right now, right? And capturing those, because that's something that's rubbing against one of those dominant patterns of thought, right? So for me, I have a theme called positivity. I know it's a shock. But it really does mean that, like, it's not just a Pollyanna attitude. Like, really on the inside, my first thought is about what's good and beautiful and wonderful about the situation or the person or what we have going. I usually have like an endless reserve of encouragement and hope. So if you need it, I've got it, right? So, but because of that, right, a red card for me that showed up the first time I did this was feeling angry, right? Being angry and feeling angry is not a bad thing. It just is not my natural state of being, right? And so for me, having to look at it and go, okay, so this is something I need to recognize, take that inventory and go, you know what? Because of my positivity, I have not always given myself permission to be angry, even when I needed to be.
Wow.
So that was a place that I really actually had to develop my positivity. It was a strength, but I like to measure strength in this way, that it brings life to you and to those around you. So my positivity brings great, you know, great encouragement, brings great life to everybody around them. But because I was not allowing myself to be angry when I needed to be angry about something, it wasn't really fully bringing life to me. So that's where I actually had to develop that. So now it's actually something that I'm like, you know, it's okay for me to be angry, and I can put my positivity aside right now to be upset. And then I know that it's okay for me to be done being upset at some point and be able to transition on. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense. So good. Yeah. I was thinking about just, go ahead. Is there another part of the step?
No, I was just going to say that once you kind of have those cataloged, then you can kind of look for those patterns within yourself. If it's meh, don't include it on the list because it just fell in the middle somewhere, right? You're like, if it's meh, just leave it off the list, right? Okay, that's it.
I know, I love it. So many things came to mind. One, realizing that, you know, does it give life to me and does it bring life to others? Because sometimes we do things and say things that are just not life-giving. And I talked about this in an episode that I did with my dad, where we talked about lips, which is another core four element, and just speech and what you say. And when you're thinking about, does this bring life? Is this growing me? Is it nourishing? Is it going to, you know, I think about the sun, and you're absolutely right. I feel amazing when it comes to being out in nature. But you think about the sun that is a part, an integral part of our sustaining life here in the earth, and something that you absolutely need. But at the same time, it can also bring a lot of pain, whether you're physically feeling sunburn on your skin or, you know, where a plant has been just absolutely scorched. But then there are places in the world and climates that have learned to adapt to it. And so I just love just realizing that, okay, is this bringing life to me and life to others around me? And if not, okay, I need to recognize that. And it's not a bad thing. It's not about being good or being bad. It just is. Some things are just about being, you know, just being. And I think that, that's something that so many of us need to be freed from in terms of a mindset. And depending on what sort of environment you grew up in, even religious backgrounds, just understanding what it means to just be. I love one thing that my husband Tommy says all the time, who's also a good friend of yours. And he talks about, you know, being and belonging before you behave. And just the importance of having that in your heart, I think creates the atmosphere for you to then be able to reveal those other layers of yourself. And when you mentioned that red card, that, okay, I feel angry. It's not wrong to feel angry. Anger is just a feeling. You know, I think sometimes we put a lot of weight on things that we think are important when it comes to identity, that sometimes, you know, they don't need to be there at all. And we're doing it, like we're putting the weight on ourselves and even the perception of what others may think about us if we feel this way. Or, you know, someone may say like, ooh, what's wrong with you? And you're like, nothing's wrong with me. I just feel angry. But they may be used to seeing you in your most frequent, you know, like you're saying, that strength of yours. So it's important to have what I call a compliment crew, you know, a crew of people that you can feel completely comfortable with around, where you can let that quote unquote, let your guard down, and have spaces where they can see Misty feeling angry and not be confused or then label her as, you know, something else. And I know, you know, even for myself as a Black woman, you know, there are so many stigmas out there about the angry Black woman. And, you know, we struggle with that in the workplace, we struggle with that in certain places that I go to where I'm like, okay, I have to present a certain way so that I'm not being, you know, perceived as angry or this or that. And so many of the things that we are strong in can really help us, but we need to be able to have the spaces where we can express those other, that red card side, right? With that being said, tell me a little bit about the spaces where you feel the most safe, where you have a compliment crew around you. You know, what does that mean to you to have a safe space where you can have green card and you can have red card? And how can we kind of encourage our listeners and viewers to establish that for themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. That's fantastic. I love that you even give it like this really great name. And I'm like, I'm gonna start calling people my compliment crew. So I just love that. I think for me personally, you know, my family is just huge. So my husband, my children, it's amazing now that I have adult children, that the relationship has deepened and been enriched. And a lot of it from a strengths perspective. And then I just have really amazing girlfriends. So they kind of live all over the country, but it really truly is amazing, I think, to be able to have that. That being said, I didn't have that for a very long time. I had it with my family, I had it with my husband, but I didn't necessarily have it with other women. And so if you're listening to this and you're like, man, I don't have that. And somehow you feel less than, can I just tell you, friend, you're not alone. And it has nothing to do with whether or not you are worthy of having fabulous, amazing female friends who can be your compliment crew. It really does have to do with being brave enough to actually engage, right? And so that starts with you, first of all, knowing yourself enough to know what you need, because not everybody is meant to be your friend and to be on your compliment crew. Not everybody is trustworthy or faithful enough for that. And everybody has different needs when it comes to friends, right? So I'm not going to be not that I don't have people in my life who are what they call like those radical truth people, but I'm not about to open my tender heart because it is tender and I have, you know, trauma in my past, that I'm not going to open myself up to somebody who is one of those radical truthers who is going to be cutting and brutal with their truth. That doesn't do it for me. Someone else really needs that, and that's fabulous, and it doesn't mean that I don't love them and I don't appreciate that, but that's not what I need for someone who's really close to me. Because remember, it's really hard for me to share like that visceral anger, right? So I think that that's like the first and foremost, is you kind of have to know, you have to be willing to do what you were talking about with doing that assessment of yourself, of really taking inventory and going, I need to learn myself so I can start to learn what I need. And even if it's just one little thing, that's a great place to start to go, okay, I need, first of all, for me, when I realized, you know what, I don't have any friends where I lived here in Arizona when we moved here, you know, 15, 16 years ago. And I was like, you know what, I need somebody who cares deeply about the Lord, first of all, but is curious. I want someone who's curious and fun. And so I was like, okay, so I started to try to make friends with people and I'd be like, okay. So I started by just dropping off flowers to like women that I knew that I wanted to be friends with. And for me, I was like, if they received the flowers, it's like, oh my gosh, that was so sweet and fun. And what a great surprise. That was a good clue to me that, oh, they like a little bit of wonder in the world, and I do too. So maybe that's a good place to start for friendship. I don't know if that helps, but I was like, that's where I had to start, because I wasn't like the, you know, go to like bridge club. That wasn't going to be, that's not me. Sure. I'm so not that person, you know?
No, neither am I. But I love that you share that, because I think especially as you mature and as you go through different seasons in life, you know, I am at this time of recording, I'm 36 years old. You know, I've been married for 15 years. Is it 15? No, 14. See, look at that. 14 years.
Close enough. That's okay. I won't tell Tommy.
I'm excited about next year being the 15, right? So I've been married for 14 years with three children under the age of 6 I've moved, I have family, I love. But sometimes your seasons change. Not sometimes, they always change. And so being able to grow in friendships and connections that are going to align with those changes in season are really important. And not feeling bad. Again, I don't know why this good, bad thing is coming up, but I feel like God is like, we need to talk about that.
Yes.
You know, there's nothing bad or nothing wrong with the change in seasons and for those friendships to then have to shift, because it's okay and everyone's going to go through them. And so figuring out, like you said, what matters to me and how do I bring life to other people? For me, we've said this over and over, I love being out in nature. So if I can have a good girlfriend who doesn't mind going for a hike or for a walk, or, you know, who loves going to the beach or doing any of those things, like, I'm down for it. And even when it comes to, you know, play dates and hanging out with your kids and being able to connect that way. I know one of the things that I absolutely love is being able to just laugh, right? Laughter is something that I enjoy, that fuels me. And so having friends that don't take themselves too seriously, because I think oftentimes, sometimes I take myself too seriously in my sort of my home life, right? We're always in different modes, even in different places, right? So having those spaces where, okay, I'm not cooking dinner, or I'm not washing clothes, I'm not cleaning up after potty training messes, you know what I mean? I'm just being me, fun, laughing, throwing little jabs here and there at my girlfriends, and they're throwing it back and I'm catching them, and, you know, we're just having a good time. So I love that you share just the aspect of what it looks like to grow in those friendships and know that you're not alone, because chances are the woman next to you probably feels very much like you do. And if they don't, there's an opportunity there to like figure it out and say, hey, like, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And if the connection doesn't exist, then that's okay too. I think sometimes we feel as though we have to maintain relationships or friendships with people just because, for whatever reason, maybe we've known them for a long time. And so just understanding that those shifts are okay, those seasons are changing, and even just knowing who you are is a good place to start, because you got to be a good friend in order to have good friends most of the time, because it's a part of that cyclical process of really sharing. So I love that you said that.
Oh, that's so good. And I just had a thought as you were kind of just sharing about like seasons and thinking about skincare. And because where I live, I was telling you this morning when we kind of got on that it was 26 degrees this morning when I woke up and got ready to leave. And, you know, that with the changing of seasons, right, our skincare routine also has to change. You know, it's going to be a little bit drier. I know that I'm going to actually have to like remember to use my moisturizer. I'm so bad about that. You know, because I don't usually have to do it, but I know that now we're getting into the winter dry months and I'm really going to have to do that. Right. And so it's okay to think about the fact that we do have change that comes in different seasons of our life. And well, it's not necessarily a strengths perspective. It is a little bit, but it is a deep identity piece that I use with my compliment crew, and I use with my family is on a, not all the time. And it's not like a scheduled thing, but as I feel that either myself or they are moving into a new season, that I actually go to them outside of anything happening. And I say, hey, I just want to know, how are we doing? How can I love you better in this new season? And it's amazing how when you are open to actually hearing what they have to say or being willing to share, hey, I really need this new thing in this new season, just the beauty and the deepening of the relationship, and also just the solidifying of the identity that you have, right? So for me, you know, we live in Prescott. I work at ASU still, so I'm kind of going back and forth, right? And I just came to my brother and his family. That's where I am today. And I just said, hey, you know, would it be okay that when I'm in town, if I could just stay with you, you know, so 3-5 days a week, whatever, I happen to be down here. And I was like, I just need this. And I feel like I'm, you know, my kids have all left. I want to grow in a relationship with my niece and nephew. And I'd like to spend more time with, you know, my baby brother, who's the same age as you. And you know, that it's just really important to me. And it deepened our relationship. He said, you know, it's amazing. He said, you've always been the one that I needed. And now I need something. Now the fact that you need something from me, he goes, this is, it's just such a great and rich opportunity for our relationship. And so it's just been very beautiful. So just recognizing, I think, that the change in routine and the change in what we need at that really soul deep level, as we change seasons, but it doesn't come unless you're actually willing to slow down and go, wait, who am I becoming in this season, right? And really embracing that, I think, in a rich way.
That's so good. I will definitely close by saying this, that when we think about what may be happening inside of us and being really brave to speak up, right? And to share those things and knowing that it's in the communication piece that really helps to affirm those relationships that really help us to move forward in the seasons that we're in. And so if I know that I'm moving into a season where I'm not going to be as engaged, I'm not going to be going out, you know, to some of the social things that I might get invited to as much, or I might just feel busy or overwhelmed at home, being able to safely say that to my friends or, you know, say that to my sisters or my mom and say, hey, I'm kind of feeling like this. So, you know, if I'm not answering the phone as often, you know, I'm just busy with the kids right now, or, you know, just being able to have that. And then feeling okay to move into the next space. Like, hey guys, I'm back. My friends will tell you, girl, sometimes it's days before I reply to a text.
Yes.
And I have stopped saying, so sorry for my late reply. I don't even do that anymore because they already know, like, we know it's okay. Or a group chat, I am the first to put that notification, turn it off. And then I jump back into the chat and it's like, I haven't skipped a beat, you know? And there are those friendships, right? And I'm sure, like, you know, having friends that are all over the country, I have same experiences where it's like, I haven't seen you in a long time. We haven't talked, but we're able to kind of merge back into that conversational space because we've developed and we've built a knowing of one another and a respect for the seasons. And then I have friends where, you know, we were really close when we were younger, kind of lost touch, seasons changed, and then we're back in it again. And it feels really good. We have new life experiences. And I'm so grateful to God for all of those friendships and those family connections that I have. And so I think communicating, even with your spouse, how you're feeling, what's kind of going on, just where you are. And that can feel a little bit uncomfortable at times, being so vulnerable. But at the end of the day, it's an opportunity for us to say, hey, this is what I need right now. This is where I am. And people are not mind readers. We know that. But for some reason, we think that either they just know, they should know, or it's not that big of a deal and I can handle it on my own, or, you know, I'll get over it. And it's like, no, you need to tell somebody that you're in a mood, even if you don't know what mood you're in. I'm in a mood right now. So just like, give me a minute. Let me figure it out. You know, if that's what you want or what you need. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if I have time for one more story, but sure, I'd love to give an example of, so it's in knowing your identity and even knowing those patterns of thought. I'm so struck by this particular moment between our two youngest kids, and they were maybe 7, 8, 9, somewhere in there. And those of you that are parents know when you hear like the rumble happening, like there's a fight coming. And I was at the bottom of the stairs and I could hear it starting to happen. So I'm on my way up the stairs and all of a sudden, and we'd done a lot of the strength stuff with our kids from the time they were 4, 2, 3, 4-ish, right? And so we'd had a lot of conversations. So with it, they had the ability to communicate about their identity and their patterns of thought. So as I'm walking up the stairs, I hear Ami Grace tell her brother Ben, right now, your focus is hurting my self-assurance's feelings. And I was like, okay. And he goes, what do you mean? And she goes, you're so focused on us being able to hang out that you're telling me the answers to my math homework. And it makes me feel stupid. It makes me feel like you think I'm not smart enough to do this. And he said, oh my gosh, Sissy, I am so sorry. He goes, I just want to hang out with you. He goes, you're the smartest person I know. He was like, that's not it at all. He goes, I just want to spend time with you. I'm so sorry that I hurt your feelings. And she said, well, I still have to do my chores after this. So if you wanted to help do my chores, then when I finish my homework, then we can hang out. And he goes, awesome. What are your chores? And I was just so struck because they weren't very old. Like I said, they're like 7, 8, 9, somewhere in there. But for her to be able to recognize the reason why she was hurt and irritated was because she has this really strong sense of, I can do this on my own. But to also recognize that his focus was not, like, she, at some point she knew that it wasn't that he didn't think she was smart enough, but that's how she felt. And she was able to recognize where it was coming from and to communicate that with him instead of just being like, oh, you're so annoying. I hate you. Right?
Yeah. No, I love it.
And they're just able to resolve it. And it's not that it's always going to work that well. I wish it did, but it was just so great. And like, there's so many moments in their relationship that I can see that come out. And it's just so key because that identity piece, so that you can communicate what you need, what you just said, like you have to do the work of knowing yourself. You just have to. It has to be a priority.
Would you say vocabulary, like that's really at the end of the day, it's vocabulary. I mean, we have that chart with all the different feelings. We have that at home for our kids. And even before we had kids, I just thought about this. Tommy and I had a whole list. We printed out a whole list of feelings because when we'd go to different marriage sessions and, you know, conferences and trainings, they would say, okay, so I feel this, you know, when you do this, I feel this. And we would often find ourselves using this very same descriptive words. And we're like, hold on, we need to expand our vocabulary for how we feel and really think through, you know, what's kind of going on in us right now. So I think this has been a great conversation. I'm so thankful that you were able to join today's episode. You guys, Misty is amazing. So definitely go ahead and check her out. The tools that she has to offer, I'll make sure to put all of those things in the description box so you can get your hands on it and really begin to grow and develop in that identity piece for yourselves. Remember who you are and be the beauty revealed. Have a fantastic day. And thanks so much for being part of the podcast, Misty.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Bye.